way, if anyone here is in advertising or marketing, kill yourself.
Anarchism is not bombs, disorder, or chaos. It is not robbery and murder. It is not a war of each against all. Anarchists stand for anarchy, anti-capitalism, anti-racism, anti-authoritarianism, internationalism, autonomy, direct democracy, ecology, self-organization, solidarity, anti-fascism, anti-neoliberalism, anti-nationalism, atheism, equality, and freedom.
Tune in to Subversion 1312, the 4ZZZ Anarchy Show.
Tuesday from 9 till 10 p.m. on 102.1 FM or streaming 4ZZZFM.org.au.
How about trying this future on for size?
Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on that farm he had a chicken, E-I-E-I-O.
The farms where most of our egg products come from aren't what they used to be. Across Australia, 11 million hens are still confined to the misery of battery cages. Please, don't buy into cruelty. Help Animals Australia put an end to factory farming.
Close your eyes and I'll kiss you. Tomorrow I'll miss you. Remember, I'll always be true. And then while I'm away, I'll ride home every day. And I'll send all my love and tears. I'll pretend.
Heard there from Nidocris and All Our Loving, and that was from a compilation which was called All Our Loving, and a whole lot of bands from Australia did covers of All Our Loving. Nidocris was a all-girl band from Sydney. Hello, my name's Linda. I'm here tonight by myself for a change. The 131 crew has jumped ship and are out somewhere causing trouble, hopefully. So I'll be here tonight until 10 o'clock by myself. It's 5 minutes after 9. You're listening to 4ZZZ 102.1 FM. Thanks to the New Zealand show for a great variety of music from across the ditch. Coming up on tonight's show, it has been a collaborative show, even though Max Meeks, Meese, Mark and Nathan are not here. Max and I, well, mainly Max, did an interview last night with someone from the Melbourne Hunt Saboteurs, and I'm going to be playing that tonight. Also, we're going to have the latest from the language warning fucking news from the Stimulator Submedia, and also Bad Cop No Donut. Last week and the week before, we talked about the ZAD, the Zone to Defend, in France, the 4,000 acres of farmland and nature, which was under threat to build an airport, but that got cancelled. But there's been a great community built on the ZAD, and people all over France are currently defending it. And you can go to enoughisenough.org, and they've got a live blog of what's happening. So there's stuff happening in Paris as well as around where the ZAD is, and also in other places around France, including Rennes. We're going to hear another song now. This one is called Insulting the DJ. It's by Atom TM. And I first heard this on Electric Crush, 4ZZZ's electronic music show, which is on Friday nights from 8 till 10. And I love to tune in or listen back on our on-demand service and check out the songs. Thanks to Namshub for helping me find this one.
Just kidding. This is Atom TM insulting the DJ. Insulting the guy who puts the needle on the record and presses play. Anyway, you're all on drugs, so you don't know what I'm talking about. Well, in the meantime, we let that groove go. Not that it's necessarily a good groove, but we have to give some time to the DJ to manage the crossfade. The crossfades he's been practicing for so long. Jeez. Well, that was me, it was not the DJ. Well, now let's get serious and really serious and get that thing going. That thing I kept Mark and Vince waiting for so long. Well, let's do it. Here we go. Drums.
I was going to fade that down because it's quite a long track, but I really liked it, so I just wanted to play it. And as I said, Max and I, mainly Max, did an interview last night with a representative of the Melbourne Hunt Saboteurs, and they spoke to us on the condition of anonymity. So I won't be saying their name, just that they're a representative from the Melbourne Hunt Saboteurs, and that's because what they do is quite out there and in people's faces and really is disturbing people who like to hunt innocent animals. The Hunt Saboteurs in England, the Hunt Saboteurs Association, HSA, was formed in 1963 and are still going, and go out into the countryside in England and disrupt fox hunting, which is quite a bourgeois activity. And there's actually a surprising number of hunt clubs in Australia, and we talk about the issues surrounding it and what the hunt saboteurs actually do.
Who exactly are the Melbourne Hunt Saboteurs?
We are, I guess you could call us, a group of passionate and committed activists who have formed together under the belief that actions have always meant more than words, and are very fed up with the current political climate of the animal rights movement in Victoria and probably in Australia as well. So the collection of activists who have come to Melbourne Hunt Saboteurs have initially come across to oppose fox hunting with hounds within Victoria. But as we found along the way, that the collective understanding of the saboteurs within the group is that we're very frustrated and upset, kind of takes a bit of ownership of it, but we're frustrated with the current climate of the animal rights movement in Victoria.
So how do you organise and how do you stop hunts?
Yeah, so Melbourne Hunt Saboteurs is the first direct opposition to fox hunting with hounds in Australia, with being the first kind of brings about a lot of new things and a lot of first things, and we're the first and only club at the moment to come with the direct support and to be directly associated with the Hunt Saboteurs Association from the UK, who have been out sabotaging fox hunts for the last 60 years. So what we do is a derivative of basic direct action. We get in the way of the hunt. It's a non-violent style of direct action. You know, we bring no harm to the hounds or to the horses that are being dragged into this, but we use the methods that the Hunt Saboteurs Association from the UK have been using and trialing over the last 60 years. So it's everything that the hunt used to control the hounds. We use those tools, those tricks in reverse. So from voice commands to calling the hounds over to using a hunting horn to a whip, never whipping the dogs, but the whip signifies that the hounds need to stop.
Like the sound of it.
Yeah, the sound of it, even just the sight of it. Cracking a hunting whip is a skill in its own. And a few of us can do it, but when you're trying to do it on the run as well, it can be a little bit tricky. So just the pure sight of a whip will make the dogs stop what they're doing and come back. So everything that the barbaric hunts use to force the hounds into destroying a fox, we use to take control of the hounds. And then it becomes a game of cat and mouse. You know, we take control of the hounds, they try to get them back. We never, put the hounds at risk. We wouldn't call them over a road or call them into an area that is dangerous for them. But it definitely, if the hunter are chasing a fox and the hounds are on a fox, we'll use everything we've got to call those hounds away from a live fox.
We've seen that they have guns at some of these hunts. Is there ever a worry about being shot?
Yeah, look, we'd be really stupid if we didn't acknowledge and have plans and methods in place for that. The law in Victoria is a little bit grey. but it's also very clear in certain components. So the hunts legally can chase a fox with their hounds, and when we're talking about fox hunting, we are talking about that traditionalist crap of men and women in red coats chasing an animal for fun. And the law states that they can do that, but they're not allowed to let their hounds attack a fox, so that's where the guns come into. We sabotaged a hunt here in Victoria 2 weekends ago, and it was rather difficult because they were shooting foxes, or what they call flushing a fox, where they use the hounds and the horses to drive the fox out of its area and then into the path of hunters with guns. So it's always a bit tricky. We always dress in all black and we cover our faces so that we can't be identified. You know, dickhead hunters with small appendages and big guns like to shoot anything, so we've got to be really careful with that one. But so far, we haven't really been confronted with too much violence involving hunters with guns, but it's a real life threat.
What's the largest hunt that you've had to deal with?
In Australia, our opening hunt, which you can see all the footage on Facebook at Melbourne Hunt Saboteurs, we sabbed Oakland's opening hunt here in Melbourne. And that was pretty well attended with probably about 30 riders, but we also had a crack at their combined closing hunt of the season in 2017, and there were more hounds but less riders. This time there were more riders and about the same number of hounds. But I've also sabbed in the UK, so I recently got back just before the Australian season started, which runs from end of April to the start of September, from the UK, where I spent 3 weeks learning and sabotaging with the UK guys over there. So their hunts were a hell of a lot bigger than what Australian hunts are.
How many hunt clubs are there in Australia?
Oh, far too many. At the moment, we've focused all our intel and all our resources to just focus on the hunts within Victoria. And within Victoria alone, we've got 14 on our books that we wish to keep tabs on. And we know that there's a couple of smaller ones that pop up every now and then. But Australia-wide, wherever the fox has been introduced, you will find a hunt club, unfortunately. So Sydney has a very prestigious hunt club. Queensland have a couple of hunts, and we've been approached by a couple of people in Queensland wanting to set up a Queensland hunt saboteurs group up there to oppose, you know, the blood sport and the classism of people who attend hunts. So Australia-wide, it wouldn't surprise me if there are over 100.
Often people say that the fox hunting is a necessary thing because foxes are an introduced species. What do you say to that?
Oh, well, the truth is that, yeah, the fox was an introduced species. It was introduced shortly after white invasion, and it was introduced by white invaders so they could continue their tradition of hunting. So the fox is here of no fault of its own. And yes, it was a pest species. Evolution is a funny thing. Time is also equally as hilarious. The fox is not the villain that it is painted out to be. You know, the biggest aggressors towards the fox are the farmers. They're the people who are already profiting off the abuse of animals. So, you know, the farmers who consistently lamb during winter are upset that the fox eats lambs. You know, the fox accounts for about 4% of farming losses. In a perfect world, we would say, well, people should stop profiteering off animals. The fox is here. Whether it is classified as a pest, it's not classified as a pest in New South Wales. It doesn't exist in Tasmania. In Victoria, it's classified as a pest. It's not classified as a pest in South Australia. You know, Australia needs to get its head around how we're going to look at the fox. With the government programs to control the fox are well and truly there, and they're another fight we're trying to take on, but I don't think anything deserves to be ripped apart by dogs simply because a bunch of rich aristocrats want to chase it on horseback. You know, there's no conservation value in hunting with hounds, and you know, that's been widely reported in Victoria.
That was Max and me speaking with a representative from the Melbourne Hunt Saboteurs. And they have a Facebook page, Melbourne Hunt Saboteurs. And they also have a blog, which is Diary of an International Hunt Saboteur.blog. We've actually got more of that interview coming up after this song, which is very appropriate to play in these times after the hullabaloo about the royal wedding and also to do with fox hunting. It's called Farewell to the Crown, and it is by Chumbawamba. Thanks for tuning in to 102.1 FM for Triple Z Subversion 1312. That song's quite a favourite of mine there by Chumbawamba, Farewell to the Crown. And it has, at the beginning, it's talking about hunting and it says, your time has come straight between the eyes, which I think is quite clever. And you're listening underneath to the soundtrack from Fight Club. I've got another section of the interview with the Melbourne Hunt Saboteurs. Coming up is the fucking news, language warning, and bad cop. No donut.
Did I read somewhere that that they sometimes let out foxes, especially for the fox hunt?
Yeah, look, you're absolutely right. Like I said, the laws are really specific. They're not allowed to dig a fox out of its set. So if a fox goes to ground, the hunt must leave that fox alone. And absolutely, you know, we're into our second season opposing the hunt. The evidence we've got of foxes being let out simply for the hunt to chase them is there, and we're waiting to gather some more intel before we can put a strong case together to shut these hunts down.
And just to be clear, sorry, when you say let out, do you mean let out of, like, they're let out of their burrow, or do you mean they're caught especially and then let out?
The latter. So they're caught especially, yep. Okay. They're held, and then they will be let out. It's really important to point out as well that people always ask, you know, what about the welfare of the hounds, and the hounds are bred to do this? The hounds are bred to do this, but the hounds that can't do it are shot. The hounds 24 hours prior to a hunt are starved. They're deprived of everything. So that when they they get out. The huntsmen, who control the hounds, they're bloodthirsty because they've had no food. They're starved, so they have a drive to have that instinct of, well, hold up, we've got to eat, otherwise we're not going to do too good as a general thing. So in terms of the welfare of the hounds, we care for those hounds far more than the hunt does. Unfortunately, because the fox is marked as a pest, I don't actually think it comes under any protective laws at all. You know, we've had the times this season we've gone out, we've actually had quite a surprising response from the police who have attended, which was a big shock to us, where they have, the officer who came out to our opening sabotage of Oakland's was very much on our side, but again was reluctant to actually put in place, you know, and uphold a law that he wasn't too familiar with, which really pissed us off, because we're like, well, you're a police officer. Whether or not you're familiar with the law, we have the law printed out and, you know, saved on our phones, and we've got documents to show you the laws of hunting with hounds for on foxes, and the old blue didn't want to get involved, but he was surprisingly okay with us trying to put an end to this.
And is it actually illegal what they are doing?
Yes. Absolutely.
And it can't be a cheap thing for them to do. So that's even more sign of bourgeoisie exclusivity.
So when people, in Australia, people think of hunting as your duck hunters, your stereotypical bogan who drives with a couple of hunting stickers and, you know, hunting cages on the back, tires that are too big for the car kind of deal. These people who hunt foxes on horseback are well-to-do. They're lawyers, bankers, doctors, politicians, local council members. They feel that they're very well-to-do people. They have something that they call the stirrup cup, where they drink wine that's served to them off a silver platter while they're on horseback just before the hunt. And the fees to involve yourself in a hunt club, depending on its exclusivity, can range anywhere from $800 to $900 a year up to $4,500. The Sydney Hunt Club is almost the same price as if someone was stupid enough to send their child to a private school. This is all about class. These people who are hunting these animals, they have no welfare for their hounds, and they don't care about animal welfare whatsoever, however you view the fox. This is what they feel is their God-given right as trying to molest the traditions from England and their hunting over here. The white settlers invaded Australia and brought over the fox to continue their bullshit here. So these people, your liberal people who contribute to systems that are already in place to put the common person down. So as well as being an animal rights fight, this is also a class fight for us. These people are barbaric, rich, toffee wankers who simply think that the saboteurs are uneducated peasants, and it couldn't be further from the truth for us.
Melbourne Hunt Saboteurs there, speaking about what they do and why they do it. And if you're interested to know more, on the England and the UK one called Hunt Saboteurs Association, which is huntsabs.org.au, they have a number of leaflets if you want to delve into the issue more. So you just go along to their website, which is huntsabs.org.au, and look for the resources. I'm going to play a song now by the Kasingles, and thanks very much to the Kasingles. They're always supporting us when we post things on Facebook. This is called Lady Macbeth.
Thank you. the crown to the toe, full of direst cruelty. My keen knife sees not the wound it makes, but who'd have thought the old man had so much blood in him. What's done cannot be flower, but be the serpent underneath it. Shroud me in the darkest smoke of
together.
Yep.
All together.
All together.
Subversion.
1 3 1 2 3 1 1 2 1 3 1 2 1 1 2 I mean 3 2 1 1 3 1 2 2 2
The 4ZZZ Anarchy Show.
Not everybody has to obey.
Locally.
The working class.
class.
Think globally, act locally.
The working class.
Think globally, act locally.
The working class.
Think globally, act locally.
The only solution is to fight.
The media for those who fight.
The front flag.
The media for those who fight.
The front flag.
The media for those who fight.
The front flag.
The media for those who fight.
The front flag.
I believe in million and million and million of revolutions of little neighborhoods.
With a little bit of communism.
Talk about the revolution. Make the revolution.
Globally, act locally, and that is from Micro Platform off the compilation called Resisto by Rap Militante International. And thanks again to Cuz, who manages our Facebook page, and there's lots and heaps of interesting stuff on there. Before that, you heard from the Kasingles and Lady Macbeth. Time now for the fucking language warning news, episode 10, and this one is all about fascists and fascists getting outed.
Der Angriff Steiner ist nicht erfolgt.
Laurel. 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 Laurel.
Das war ein Befehl! Der Angriff Steiners war ein Befehl!
Shit.
Rise and shine, motherfuckers. I am your host, the Stimulator, and this is the fucking news.
This is my message to NT. Y'all just went to our houses, slapped flyers on everybody's door, all of our neighbors, trying to turn our neighbors on us.
These days, it's hard to be a Nazi.
Cause you had a bad day, you take one down, you sing a sad song, to turn it around.
And for Nazis here on Turtle Island, shit keeps going from bad to fucking worse, with May being a particularly bad month so far.
We're going to see how many punches it takes to stop him from being a Nazi, and then we're going to tweet it out.
All across the internet, these fuckers' websites have been getting shut the fuck down, from Richard Spencer's Fasci News Consortium, Altright.com, to the website of the psychotic neo-Nazi paramilitary group Atom Waffle. Fearing they might be the next victims of the Soros-funded GoDaddy Jews that secretly run the World Wide Web, Planeta's most popular Nazi podcast, This Hour Has 88 Minutes, hosted by Axe in the Deep and League of the North, has taken its content offline as a preemptive security measure.
Stop all the downloading!
One supporter even talked about this on the Right Stuff forums, claiming, I am not expecting them to dox Axe for a podcast, for fuck's sake. But this piss-poor attempt at security culture came too little too late, as the proto-hipsters from Vice News doxed League of the North.
We're calibrated to pull only the most exquisite flavors from the coffee.
Turns out League's real name is Thomas White, I kid you not, a failed barista from Thunder Bay, Ontario, who was trying to bankroll the whitey ethno-state by slinging Nazi coffee on the side.
What can I get started for you today?
I need milk right now!
Popular alt-right blog The Right Stuff, which hosts the Daily Shoah, has also removed its public forum, replacing it with a private members-only page that will make it harder to attract new followers, leaving many impressionable millennials to look elsewhere for obscure subcultures to join.
I'm not really white power, man. I just came here for the fun. Fuck.
Oh, my niggas really gangbang. Talk that damn slang. Rap about
And it's not just online that Nazis are feeling the heat. Earlier this month, an active duty member of the U.S. Marine Corps, Vasilios Pistolis, was outed by ProPublica and Frontline as being a member of Atomwaffle. Next, in the town of Brasstown, North Carolina, a Nazi husband and wife duo, Christopher and Carissa Pack, were doxxed by members of Asheville Anti-Racism over their ties to the now-defunct Traditionalist Workers Party.
That's embarrassing.
And over in the land of poutine, earlier this month, anti-fascist research ninjas napped themselves a big one when they outed the notorious neo-Nazi propagandist and Daily Stormer second-in-command, Zyga, a.k.a. Gabriel Soyer Chaput. For years, Zyga has been one of the most influential Nazis in North America. He's been a fucking prolific writer, churning out hundreds of articles and two full-length fucking books on neo-Nazi theory, plus an unpublished Nazi-themed Harlequin romance novel, Blitzkrieg of the Passion. He also served as an active strategist and regional organizer, tying together members of local neo-Nazi, alt-right, and white identitarian movements, while managing to keep his real identity a closely guarded secret. For a while, anyway. But while his internet fan base has held Zyga as an Aryan Ubermensch, at the end of the day, he just turned out to be some dirty Quebecois hipster from Rosemont with a greasy fucked up mustache.
Din mustache är ju helt kaputt för fan. Där får du ju avbraken.
Avbraken?
Han ser inte klok ut.
Soon after he was outed, posters of Zyga and threatening graffiti started going up in his hood. And he and his online Nazi buddy started to freak the fuck out. Andrew Anglin, who as the digital Reichmaster of the popular neo-Nazi website The Daily Stormer, placed wannabe Hitler to Zyga's wannabe Goebbels, posted a call out for money to help his Nazi homie Gustav his way to rural Quebec in order to escape the violent subhuman Antifa who are now hunting for his scalp.
And I want my scalps!
This desperate plea for funds brought in around $300. Dang, the motherfucking scrotum tote pulled in 80 times that much.
The scrotum tote, the world's first fully functional human scrotum knapsack.
Two other Montreal area Nazis, Vincent Bélanger-Mercure and Sean Bouvet-McDonald's, who were both doxxed last year after traveling with Zyga down to the Unite the Right clusterfuck in Charlottesville, Virginia, have also been feeling the pinch, with Bouvet-McDonald getting a first-hand lesson in the incredible bonding power of wheat paste. Last Saturday, a crowd of anti-fascists and anti-racists attempted to pay a visit to the home of Zyga, but were blocked by Montreal swinists. During the march, peeps also stopped to point out the home address of another local Nazi, Philippe Gendron, and squared off with his wannabe biker buddies from Soldiers of Odin.
We're not gangs. We're a social club. We're a bunch of friends that be started and created a Disney family and welcome everybody to come in and be a part of it.
This march took place exactly 1 week after another anti-Nazi demo in the gentrifying neighborhood of Park X. Around 200 people swarmed the condominium where, on May Day, comrades had spotted a piece of shit waving a swastika flag on the roof of his building. Yep, the Nazi wing of the far right is definitely in retreat, and that sure as fuck worth celebrating. But even as these sick hiling knuckle fuckers keep being chased back into their holes, it's important to remain vigilant and to prepare ourselves for the very real possibility that the same policies and processes that have been used by tech companies to blacklist these Nazi pieces of shit may very well be used against anarchists next. It is therefore crucial that anti-fascists seize on the momentum of these recent victories and keep our eyes on the fucking prize. And that's all the fucking news for today. As always, don't forget to support my ass at sup.media/donate or buy a t-shirt or a coffee mug with my face on it at sup.media/gear. And remember to follow me on all your mass surveillance and mind control platforms. Just search for Stimulator. Hasta la pasta, compañeras.
We are at war!
The Soulcast is a twice-a-month anarchist podcast hosted by North American rap artist Soul. It's a podcast about revolutionary politics from an anarchist perspective. Every month, I interview academics, journalists, revolutionaries, quote-unquote activists, artists, musicians, and really anything that I find interesting. I never got to go to college, so this, I guess, is my cheat sheet. So anybody who wants to learn, you can learn with me. Subscribe in iTunes at tinyurl.com/soulcast and check it out on the Channel Zero Podcast Network.
We are at war!
What's his name?
I don't know.
What's his name? Give me a name now. I want a name.
I don't know.
Give me a name.
I don't know. Sir.
What's his first name?
I don't know.
I don't want you to be a snitch. You don't want to be a snitch. What's his first name?
System, not to demonize, but just to observe the reality. Administrators of oppression, armed guards for the aristocracy. But this is not another song about juvenile fantasies of killing pigs. This is a call for common sense and an affirmation to step back and think
and take responsibility. Come on, your
police carrying high-powered rifles. Police carrying high-powered rifles. Police carrying high-powered rifles.
In solidarity, we can decide today.
And you're not consent to research.
I think police!
Bad, 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 bad.
Cough, 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 cough.
No, 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 no.
Donut, 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 donut.
It's under law. And I rule.
Bad cough.
Nut. Donut.
Bad, 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 bad.
Cough, 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 cough.
No, 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 no.
Donut, 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 donut. It's under law. And I rule.
Is bad cop nerd or not? Once again. And this week I've got three stories, which actually I published on our website, subversion1312.tk. First of all, a reminder that police are not our friends. Newly released body camera footage is igniting police brutality claims where a Fort Collins police officer is seen body slamming a female Colorado State University student. Officer Randall Clampser is recorded throwing the 22-year-old Michaela Surratt face first into the pavement during the investigation of a bar fight. Clampser says Surratt can leave the scene, but when she turns around, he grabs her. Surratt repeatedly asks what she's done wrong. Clampser, without answering, threatens to throw her to the ground. Seconds later, he does throw her to the ground. She is the one accused of assault, however, with Clampser stating in an affidavit that she attempted to choke him. Larimer County prosecutors dropped assault charges but are still charging her with resisting arrest. Clampser was placed on administrative leave but was eventually cleared by the Department of Wrongdoing and is now on active service. Surratt's resisting arrest trial is scheduled for August and a civil rights complaint is expected to be lodged. So just to recap there, the video footage clearly shows the officer throwing Surratt to the ground and her not actually choking him. And an Indigenous man has died in custody in Western Australia. The 19-year-old inmate was at the West Kimberley Regional Prison last week, which was the 3rd of May. So it wasn't last week, but it was on the 3rd of May, and he collapsed suddenly at 4:45 p.m. On the way to hospital, paramedics provided CPR, but he died in hospital at 5:26. The Welcome to Country website has posted an article stating the death was only given media coverage in one article on ABC Local Kimberley. In the article, media silence after 19-year-old Aboriginal man drops dead in a remote WA prison. Welcome to Country states the lack of media attention towards cases like this can be seen as a wider attempt to devalue the lives of all Aboriginal people. They say answers are needed as to how this death happened. Was violence involved? Was it due to overcrowding, overheating, or neglect of prison welfare? Hopefully there'll be more to come on that story. Four Victorian police officers have been suspended on full pay and one assigned to alternative duties over three separate incidents of violence which were captured on CCTV. Assistant Commissioner Luke Cornelius, head of Professional Standards Command, has ordered the suspension of the three officers. In the Melbourne suburb of Preston, we talked about this, a disabled pensioner was seen forced out of his home by the officers and he sprayed in the face with capsicum spray and pinned down by six officers. And he's also hit with a baton. A second incident, which occurred at a chemist, we also talked about this. In 2016, an officer has been suspended after footage was captured on the store's CCTV camera. A man entered the chemist intending to rob the store and then police arrived. The footage shows a man repeatedly punched and hit with a baton, kicked and stomped on by a police officer. A fifth officer has been assigned to alternative duties over an incident that occurred in Bendigo in 2015. A 23-year-old Indigenous man was arrested for being drunk and disorderly, but after refusing a photograph, he was thrown headfirst into a metal door by an officer. So go, and you can go to subversion1312.tk to look at those and links there. I want to mention a sister radio show on Radio Skid Row, which is in Sydney, and it's called Roving Spotlight with John August, and it's on Tuesdays from 12 to 2, and they have online streaming. So if you are not in Sydney, as maybe a lot of listeners are, being a radio station in Brisbane for Triple Z, you can tune in on the internet or if you are in Sydney, you can tune in on 88.9 FM. And John played my talk last week about Louise Hay and her quackery, which you can also find on our website, subversion1312.tk. Finally, before I play the outro, a Rohingya refugee has died after jumping from a bus in Papua New Guinea on Manus Island. He was detained by the Immigration Department of Australia. Thanks for tuning in. You're on 4ZZZ.
Check out Subversion1312 online, autonomousactionradio.com, facebook.com/subanarchyshow.
Anarchy_show on Twitter. And on the 4ZZZ website, 4ZZZFM.org.au.
I think that violence can be even applied to the natural environment.